Yes, thanks, Jill. I hope some of you can identify. No, that's fine as it is, David, actually. I like to see the congregation when I'm talking to them, not the microphone. I like to identify. I hope some of you can feel that you can identify with Jill's testimony. She felt she didn't have that gift with children's clubs until the calling became so strong that she had to test out her gifts and found that God could use her there. And what I want to ask you about today is a bit about gifts and calling and how can we practically work out what God wants us to do from our gifts and our calling and how they're often linked. First of all, though, I want to just read through this passage in 1 Corinthians 12, which is set for today, because it has something quite strong to teach to us. Chapter 12 and verse 27 of 1 Corinthians says this: "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret?" And the Greek construction there is very straightforwardly, no, they don't, the way it's put. "Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing." That first sentence says, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. I wonder how you feel about that. Each one of you includes you and me. It's not somebody else you're looking at here. It's yourself. You are the body of Christ altogether, and each one of you is a part of it. And if you look at the chapters 12 and 13 and 14, you'll see Paul saying this again and again and again. 12 verse 7, to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given. 12 verse 11, he distributes them to each one just as he determines. 12 verse 27, you are the body of Christ and each one of you is a part of it, as we've just read. And Ephesians 4, if you don't want just 1 Corinthians, to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is a really strong principle for us as we look at the New Testament and this whole subject of gifts. Each one of us is there to build up the body of Christ. Now, as I look at church history, I find that the times when the church really flourishes in church history is when all those gifts and abilities are being used. And if you ever look back and think about your own life, you'll see that the times when the church is alive is when it's not dominated by one or two people, but using the gifts of everyone. And that includes you and me. And so I want you to listen this morning to these facts. Christ, through his Spirit, has given you and me a gift or gifts. There's no one here who can say, God's never given me any gift at all. Every one of us, each one, it says quite straightforwardly, has a gift. And the corollary of that, the follow-up of that, is this: that he can still give you gifts now if you're hearing his call. So listen out for what God is saying. You are not left out. Even if you feel like Jill did, that one gift, as it were, had been left aside, there was another gift there waiting to be used. And we need to be open to what God is saying practically about using our gifts. Now, Paul does make it clear here that we're not all apostles, not all prophets, we're not all those different things. And I find a tendency in Christians sometimes to look over their shoulder and say, oh, look, that person's really good at X, Y, Z. I could never do that. And I think you need to remember what Jesus said to Peter by the side of the sea. Do you remember what he said? Don't worry about him. You follow me, he said, when he looked at John, when Peter looked at John down the strand, as it were. So let's think about what our gifts are this morning. Now let me introduce you to another person. This is Andy. And Andy, as it were, is the other side of the story to the story that Jill told you. Andy was our youth leader in Cambridge for some time as well. And Andy came to us at the age of 18. He was a connection. He lived down in Colchester Way. It wasn't in Cambridge at all. We didn't know him very well. But he showed us that he had a really strong desire to reach young people. He was only 18. He'd had very little experience and no training at all. But when Andy came to us with his desire, because we needed at that point now, the work had expanded so much from what Jill had started with Rhea and with this other youth leader. They'd grown so much that we needed a part-time youth leader. We were looking for the right person. And he came to us as 18 years old and we said, he looks like one of the young people. He just looks like a teenager. How can this person help us with our youth work? And yet, as we spoke to him, as we interviewed him, as we got to know him, he had that burning desire inside him to reach young people for Christ, which we couldn't deny. And so we appointed Andy to be our part-time youth leader. And Andy then got married to Sarah and grew into the job. And the youth work grew and flourished over those 5 years. And now Andy's at Cliff College training for further things in God's goodness. There's a story there, isn't there? It's not only whether you know whether you've got the calling, but also the question of the gift. So the first point is this: you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Each one of you. The second point is this: gifts have a purpose. And looking back over those verses again, the same passages in chapter 12 and chapter 14 and Ephesians 4, you see the same emphasis coming out. Chapter 12, verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Why have you got a gift? It's not for you, it's for the common good. Why have you got a gift? Verse 24, so that its parts should have equal concern for each other. We work together with our gifts. We use our gifts in the body. Chapter 14, verse 12, since you're eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. Look away from yourself. Look and see what God has got you for you to do in the church and in the community for the church. And Ephesians 4, verse 12, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ is built up. That is what gifts are all about. We all have them, and there is a purpose in them, and that is to build up the body, to bless the church. I'm going to show you a little video now, which I found on YouTube. I love these little things sometimes, and it just brings home to this the idea that everybody has gifts and we can all use them together. Just to make you remember which part of the body you are. I wonder which sort you are. Oh, we've missed out the picture. It's gone. Oh, he took that one out. The one I really wanted in there. Oh, no. Right, that'll do. The one that I wanted in there was the picture of the stomach. Did you spot it in the middle of all the innards? Beautiful one. It says, some parts work behind the scenes. And I was wondering who in the congregation would think themselves as the kidney or the liver. The bit that, you know, doesn't get seen very much, but if you haven't got one, it doesn't, you know, you don't work very well. And we need people in the church who are not only mouths and ears and things that you can see on the outside, but we need people who are doing all sorts of jobs behind the scenes as well. I thought, when I saw that picture, I thought, how would the Victorians have liked 1 Corinthians 12? They didn't like to refer to anything. They even covered up their table legs with, you know, bits of material in case legs got... Can you imagine them reading Paul and thinking, you're just like an appendix or a gallbladder? Yeah, I'm sure that wouldn't help them. Be practical. God gives you a yearning. Does really God give you a yearning? Has he given you a yearning to do something? And you're sitting there thinking, I don't know how I could possibly do that. There's a need in the church. There's a need outside. There's a need in the community. It's time to ask yourself what God is saying to you. What are your actual gifts? What are your potential gifts? Do you have actual gifts already? Or could God gift you to do what it is that he wants you to do? Jill found out that not only will he call you, but he'll equip you. And that's true for all of us. So those are the two first points. We all have gifts and they all have a purpose. Are we listening to God about those two things? And then we came to the second passage, 1 Corinthians 14, 1 to 3. And I began to wonder because it was me who put these verses together in the first place. And this was a long time ago. And I'm asking myself, why did I put this passage in here? And it's because there's a contrast in these verses between two gifts. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. And chapter 14 is about the contrast largely between tongues and prophecy. Tongues or prophecy, which is the one that you would go for? Now, I remember a long time ago, the 1960s, I can remember the pressure that was put on us as Christians to speak in tongues. I look back now and I ask myself, why was there such a pressure on Christians at that time to speak in tongues? And then I look at the context around that period and look at the fact that it was the 1960s, and all around us at that time, people were seeking experiences. Experiences were very important. Everything was Woodstock and drugs and so on and so on. And Christians were, unfortunately, like the Corinthians in their time back in the first century, they're suffering from the idea that the experience is important. And it's not, actually. Tongues is great if you're speaking in tongues to God and you're worshipping. It gives you that real sense of closeness to God. But Paul is saying in this chapter that unless tongues is interpreted, in which case it becomes very much like prophecy, it's not actually as valuable. Why? Because, as we've seen, it doesn't build up the church. It builds up you, but it doesn't build up other people. Gifts are not for us as such, they're for other people. And so we need to be looking all the time. Tongues are a great experience, but prophecies build up the church. Prophecies, it sounds very grand. It sounds like you're Isaiah or somebody in the Old Testament. Doesn't mean that at all. It just simply means that when God wants to say something to someone, he uses another person to say it. So you become a kind of spokesman for God just for that first moment or two, so that you say something and it clicks with them, or you say something and it makes an impression which they go away and think about and pray about, and something has an effect upon them. That's what prophecy is all about. So what Paul is saying here is, be practical, have common sense. Gifts are not an end in themselves. They're not a bless me experience. They're something that God gives to bless his church. They're there to bless others. I'm standing here preaching this morning. I hope I'm exercising a gift of teaching. James warns me that I shall be held to account for what I'm doing, all the more strongly because I'm doing what I'm doing. And one day, I hope, if one of you thinks that I'm starting to utter nonsense or bore you, that you'll take me quietly aside and say, you're not actually building us up anymore. Do something different. Seek God for something else. Because God's going to hold me to account, and I need you to hold me to account as well. And that is true of all our gifts. We need to be looking after one another in the body and making sure that all the gifts are useful to God in this place and outside. So, be practical. And here are some steps to think about. Be ready to listen to God. If it's the Spirit who's distributing gifts, you can't say, I can't do that. Because if he gives you the gifts, you'll be able to. If the Spirit is giving gifts, giving out the gifts, even though you've served the tea for 30 years, even though you preach because you love doing it, God can change you and give you a different gift and put you into a new place and help you to do it. So don't write yourself off. Be open to change. Secondly, the need may be the calling for you. Like Jill, you may change direction out of love for those who need help. In her case, it was the children's leader and the children who needed that input. And she heard that call. Things have moved on since then. And you might be asked to do something different. But when you see a need, ask yourself if you're the answer to your prayer, what God is calling you to do. Thirdly, like Andy, you need to listen to your heart. If you've got that deep desire down, but you haven't seen where you can use that gift, then look around, find, talk to people about it, pray about it, so that you can see where you can use your voice, your hands, your feet, whatever it may be. You can serve God where he's calling you to do so. And check it out. Take a step of faith. Weigh up what's happening. Often you'll need other people's opinions to tell you where you should be serving. Will it be a blessing to others? Will it be something that you can't see at the moment, but in the future will come about? I remember wondering what on earth God was doing when he moved us from Devon, from Barnstable, to Boreham Wood of all places. Why on earth am I here? I can't stand this place. It's a pain in the neck. 5 years later, we changed direction and I went to London Bible College, which was just down the road from Boreham Wood, from St. Albans, where we lived. And he'd moved us 5 years in advance to where he wanted us to be. So listen, ask other people, talk to other people about what you're doing, and then see. And be prepared for God to do some unusual things. In the New Testament, it talks about people coming up and prophesying to others and telling them things that they haven't wanted to hear. You think about Paul on the Damascus Road and Ananias. You think about people like Paul laying hands on Timothy, or the elders of the church laying hands on Timothy and saying, Timothy, this is what you should be doing. There may be all sorts of ways in which God speaks to you and me as well. I wonder if you're listening really to what God is saying. And today at the end of the service, there'll be a prayer team. And this may be a chance for you to just examine something that's been niggling at you, as Jill was talking about, things been niggling at you. Perhaps it's a time to start praying and thinking with others about what God is calling you to. You're testing out your gifts. You are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. Now, I haven't gone into detail with all those gifts. There are, according to my calculation in the New Testament, 27 gifts mentioned, and that doesn't cover all of them. They're all examples. They're all ideas. They're not important in and of themselves. They're important because God uses us to be the body of Christ. Christ today in action in everything we do, and we can test out our calling and our gifts and serve him. We're indispensable parts of the body of Christ. You have a place. God wants you to serve. Are you listening? Let's pray. Lord, I need my ears open this morning to what you're saying. We all need our ears open to what you're saying, to us personally, to us as a body. open our eyes and our ears so that you might direct us to where you want us to be, to serve you with the gifts that you give us. In Jesus' name, amen.